around the world through a single gift of $600. It might feel like just a drop in the bucket, but when paired with equal missional gifts from United Methodist Churches across Michigan, we can become a powerful stream of love that will change the lives of children around the world. A. The Readers to Leaders Appeal supports Freedom School Programs in Michigan, a summer literacy enrichment program that empowers kids to keep learning and growing during the summer. Your gift also provides the chance to start new programs in underserved communities. B. Your gift helps families in Liberia, many whom must choose among their children to decide who they can afford to send to school. The Readers to Leaders Appeal provides scholarships that assure 100 children will get an elementary to high school education. It also resources 4 of the most underserved schools in Liberia by funding hand pumps for clean drinking water, flush toilets, and new science and computer labs. C. When you commit to joining the Readers to Leaders Appeal, your church is encouraged to create a new missional relationship with a school in your community that might be providing much-needed school supplies, scholarships, offering tutoring or after-school programs at your church, or perhaps providing weekend meals for hungry school children. You create the mission that speaks to your local church. The Readers to Leaders Appeal turns drops in the bucket into a flood of love. Please visit the Readers to Leaders page on the Michigan Conference website. Thank you for supporting the future of children everywhere and helping United Methodist Churches do good in our communities.
Good morning, Midland First. What a privilege it is to be with you today. I do have a few announcements for you. One is that we will be having our town hall meeting right after service. It will be here in the sanctuary, and it will be a time where we can talk together about the things of the church, what will be coming up, big things that have happened in the year. You will want to stay for that. Another thing that I have for you is that we will have one combined service throughout Advent, including January 7th, which will be the first service of the new year. Likewise, we will be needing ushers for the service for our Christmas Eve services. So if you would like to volunteer, and you are not already in the rotation, I would encourage you to talk to Chuck Lank. He can get you set up with that, and I know that he would be greatly appreciative of your volunteering. And then the last announcement that I have for you is that on December 17th, we will be having an information session for those who will be joining new member classes in January. That will be in the conference room, which is just inside the office area next to where Natalie is on the weekdays. There's a room right next to Pastor Yum's office, and that's where it will be right after the service. And with that, I have an announcement that UWF will have a short presentation for us.
Good morning. I'm Rose Burleson, the current president of United Women in Faith. And United Women in Faith may be a new name to you. We are the same group, United Methodist Women, that have been around for probably more years than I have. But we are indeed a group. We call ourselves United Women in Faith. Our new name welcomes all women in church communities to join with us in our activities. Our vision has not changed. We are a powerful, fearless force driven by God's love and united in a sisterhood. With a focus on women, children, and youth, we act for justice and transformation of communities. To carry out our vision this year, we've taken several actions. In January and February, we have a Women Helping Women program where we collect hygiene products and provide them to Shelter House. We have supported the Ukrainian community, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but The largest population of Ukrainian immigrants is in our own Traverse City, and we've provided monies to support the women and children there through Justice for Our Neighbors, now known as Law and Justice of Michigan. We funded the upgrade of our infant and toddler's room, and if you haven't visited, you should do so. And the excess monies were provided for materials in the youth ministry. We support other organizations with our funds, and let me give you a list of them because I think you may be a bit surprised. The United Methodist Community House in Grand Rapids, God's Country Cooperative Parish in the UP, the Readers to Leaders program that you just saw some video about, Midland Emergency Food Pantry, the Wendover Pantry, the Wendover High School Pantry, and also their Christmas program, Eagle Village, Open Door, the new site for women and children, and Justice for Our Neighbors, which again is now called Law and Justice Michigan. Also, a couple of college foundations, the Ferris State Wesley House and the CMU Wesley Foundation. I don't know whether you are aware that they have food insecurities on those campuses. We were not until the district meeting, so we are attempting to support that. So with your help and with the funds to support all of these activities, we have raised through pledges, spring and fall rummage sales, and the holiday fest. Women participate by giving their time, their energy, and funds. Those women who donate to state and national United Women in Faith, and in the areas of mission, memory, and World Think offering are called, are identified as five-star women. Each of those women then can nominate an honoree of our church or of our community to be recognized for their service. And Nancy Ziazos, who's our United Women in Faith treasurer, is going to identify for you our 2023 five-star women and their honorees at this time.
Good morning. I get to do the fun stuff. When I call your name, if you would remain standing until we're done and hold your applause, because these people do deserve your applause. Mary Yeomans, her honoree was Denise Lundy. Terry Townley, her honoree was Somi Yum. Carol Harfman, her nominee was Carol McDonald. Carol McDonald's honoree was Caroline Gunther in memory. Rose Burleson's was Tad Roberson and Sally Roberson in memory. Myself, my honoree was Mary Yeomans. Betty Pankey's nominee was the Board of United Methodist Women. So what I would like for that is if any women have ever served on the United Methodist Women Board or United Women in Faith Board, please stand. Okay.
Thank you so much. Let us now have a time to turn and greet one another.
In days when God's people longed for peace, Isaiah declared, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins."
We who gather today also seek comfort and peace. Yet we are unsatisfied with ideas of peace that tell us to keep quiet and go with the flow. We long for real peace, true peace, just peace.
We light these candles as signs of God's shocking hope and just peace. May they be beacons calling us to repent and to live the good news of Jesus Christ as we wait and watch and labor for the day when all people can gather together to worship and glorify God. Amen.
Pray with me, if you would, the unison prayer on peace. God of peace, thank you for the privilege that it is to be your hands and feet. Indeed, as the song says, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. May that be the prayer of each one of our hearts, and we, as a church body, seek to embody grace not only in this Advent season and in the Christmas season to come, but every single day. Open our eyes and help us to see the invitation that you are extending to us to be a tangible reminder to those around us that you are a God of peace. You are the Prince of Peace, Lord Jesus. You are peace itself. May the peace that you are at work within us have a ripple effect in a world that is broken by sin. Bring peace to the nations, not just ours, but all over the world. End wars and conflicts, and give to each person according to their needs. God of peace, we need you. Come in ways we have never known. And may the word and the peace of Christ dwell in us richly. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please be seated. Church, I want to introduce you to the Explore class that you have been supporting through your efforts and your prayers. We are a group of very brave beginner musicians who meet together once a week on Wednesdays in the Little Theater to have a hands-on experience of many different instruments. And so today, for the first time, we are doing ukuleles. Now, I will admit, we have quite a crew of left-handers in our group. So if you are left-handed, go ahead and raise your hand. And go ahead and show us what a left-hander, how they would like to hold their instrument. So not only are we beginners, we have a little bit of a logistical battle because you might see some necks flipping the other way. Today, our song that we have prepared for you is O Christmas Tree. It is a German traditional carol that sings praises to the symbol of the Christmas tree. We have one in our sanctuary here, as a matter of fact, and the symbolism of the Christmas tree is such as the green boughs remind us of life everlasting. When you cut a branch, the branches stay green for a very long time. The shape of the Christmas tree reminds us of the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we feel that this song is really a good representation of a good Christmas symbol that you see everywhere in the world. Whether you are a practicing Christian or not, we see this symbol out in our community, and this is a song that pays tribute to the song. We invite you to sing along with us as the words will hopefully appear on the screen. There they are.
Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, you stand in verdant beauty. Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, you stand in verdant beauty. Your boughs are green in summer's glow and do not fade in winter snow. Oh Christmas tree,
Delaney, for accompanying us.
Good morning, and can the children join us? Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. This is great. In a minute, Katie, you can help me, okay? Yep. Okay. Okay. Good morning, everybody. So happy to see you. Last week, we lit the candle of hope with Meredith and Isabel's help. Today, we lit the candle of peace with Alex and Violet's help. What is peaceful to you? I think the animals in the manger are peaceful. The cows shared the trough so Jesus had a place to sleep. The sheep is way ahead of the shepherds. And the donkey was so helpful to Mary and Joseph as they traveled. Mary's visit to her cousin Elizabeth gave her peace. Maybe for our musicians this morning, perfect harmony gave them peace. Or maybe just being done gave them peace. St. Francis of Assisi wrote a prayer for peace. We are going to pray just a part of it. Let us pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me show love. Where there is injury, pardon, doubt, faith, despair, hope, darkness, light, sadness, joy. Amen.
Amen.
St. Francis of Assisi also created or made the first nativity. He did this to teach people about Jesus' birth. There were basically no Bibles, and people couldn't read. But with the nativity, they could know about the Christ child. Oh. Katie, if you could very carefully open that gift. And can you hold it up so all the kids can see it? This is a nativity I got in Assisi, Italy, when I visited there to remember this about St. Francis. We will keep it on the table in the Sunday school room. Okay, you can put it back in the bag now. So today, Mary and Joseph get to the manger. I bet they were glad to see the animals. Maybe the creatures even helped them stay warm. We're going to go and put Mary and Joseph in the creche. This is going to be a little bit different, though, kids. When we come back, we're going to sit in the pews all together for the new members joining our church. Because lots of us have loved ones in that group. And we want to witness this special occasion in their lives.
We have the extraordinary privilege of receiving new members into our community of faith today. And so, let me welcome you to that portion of our service. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament,
we have to invite them to come over. Yeah.
Would the new members please come down before we begin? Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism and acknowledge what God is doing for us and affirming our commitment to Christ's holy church. I present the following persons to be confirmed as new members today. And if, when I announce your name, if you would please turn just for a moment. Will Cox, Catherine Dixon, Dustin Sutton, and Diane Sweet McKimmy.
Now, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world?
I will.
You, friends of in the congregation, will you partner in prayer with them? Will you sponsor these candidates and support and encourage them in their Christian life?
I will.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and include these persons now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Remember your baptism and be thankful. Will Cox. Pastors. Wilcox, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. You may say, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dustin Sutton, please. Yeah. Okay. Dustin Sutton, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Diane Sweet McKimmy. Yeah. Diane Sweet McKimmy, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service?
Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm the hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and witness. That is everything. God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Would you please turn around? Let's welcome our new members by applauding our... Thank you, sir. Our member care ministry team, they prepared a special gift to our newly joining members. Yeah. Thank you so much. You can go back to your seat. Okay. Thank you.
What a gift it is to celebrate with those who have joined our church today. As we have made a commitment to walk together and renewed our covenant with each other and with God, let us indeed pray for one another and pray as a community in this time. God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you are the Prince of Peace and that we get to celebrate you today. Not only do we get to celebrate your birth, but we get to celebrate your coming again. Thank you for the joy that we have in receiving new members today and for the ways that you have equipped them to do your good work. Thank you for the privilege that it is to be your hands and feet, and for the opportunities that we have here at Midland First to do that. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen each of us in our commitment to you, and that we would be more in love with you as a result of this service. Lord, I pray that you would just be glorified today. And thank you for the privilege that it is to pray to you. Thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Now, we will have a time of offering. Will the ushers please come forward? God, thank you so much for these gifts that you've given us so that we can give back to you and to love our neighbor with. Lord, you are the Prince of Peace. I pray that these gifts would be multiplied so that your peace would be evident in the world to those who may not know it, who have never seen it. God, I pray that you would bless bless and bless and bless, because we are blessed to be a blessing. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you are able to do more than we ask or imagine, and I pray that over these gifts today. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. People who've walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. That is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Our text today is at the opening of the Gospel of Luke, beginning at the end of the first chapter. The birth of John occurs, and Zechariah prophesies over him regarding the kind of prophet he will become. In verses 76 to 80, he says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The child grew and became strong in the spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. Commentators support that John's birth is part of the fulfillment of the promise of Abraham, the promise of God to raise up a people, Israel, through which Abraham has numerous descendants, more numerous than the stars. He will be the one to point people to the coming Messiah. Commentator Nicholas Perrin says this: impressed by God's power to secure Israel's redemption through his wife's unlikely womb, on the pattern of Sarah, Zechariah follows Mary's lead in interpreting the preternatural view, the preternatural birth in view as a fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise. The fulfillment of the same covenantal promise is a show of mercy, because in the scriptures, mercy is preeminently ascribed to Yahweh in his capacity as Redeemer, whether leading his people out of Egypt or exile. And the Exodus can be found in, or what he's referring to can be found in chapter 33, verse 19 of Exodus, and chapter 34, verse 6 of Exodus, and Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 3, and Isaiah 49, verses 9 through 11. All throughout the book of Luke, we see this capacity of Yahweh as Redeemer that Perrin was referring to. As Luke writes about Jesus in the synagogue in chapter 4, verses 17 through 21, he says, "And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" Today is the second Sunday of Advent, where we celebrate the God of peace and anticipate the coming of his kingdom here on earth in its fullness. The book of Luke paints a beautiful picture of tangible and intangible measures of peace as a radical reversal takes place under the lordship of Jesus. This dawn that Zechariah referred to in his prophecy has numerous connotations of hope as we understand the background of why the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus are both so important. Not only are John and Jesus cousins, but John serves to announce the coming of the one who will redeem Israel. His birth is a key part in God's plan to redeem what has been ravaged by sin. He is what Diane Chen calls the Messiah's forerunner. Who is the Messiah? What does it mean for Jesus to be anointed by the Spirit, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor? The word Messiah in Greek means rescuer. The people of Israel expected a mighty warrior, the descendant of David, who had been prophesied, was expected to rule over Israel, to teach God's people and administer justice. The people expected a savior, someone who would lead Israel in military victory against the oppressive Roman Empire. A horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as Zechariah proclaims in Luke chapter 1, verse 69. Which is part of his prophetic song, similar to Mary's Magnificat, after the proclamation of the angel Gabriel in chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. Jen points out in her commentary on Luke that the phrase horn of salvation is used in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3, and Psalm 18, verse 2, where David attributes the characteristic of how an animal fights with its horns, if it has them, as symbolizing the power and strength to God. Yet this phrase is also attributed to the prophesied Messiah in Psalm 132, verses 17 and 18. Thus, God and the Messiah are linked as one. Through the promised Messiah, Zechariah proclaimed that the people would be able to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him as long as we live. Not only would they go from being oppressed to being free, as they believed that the Messiah would free them from the oppressive Roman government, but the Greek word that we have to translate as the English word serve also encompasses worship. To serve God according to Zechariah's prophecy is also to worship him. To be under his lordship as opposed to the lordship of any other person or power. Looking at the rest of Jesus' ministry through this lens flips the script. It is by the tender mercy of God that dawn has broken and that God has come in human form in the person of Jesus Christ, promising to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. How did he do it? What does that look like? Well, right after Jesus returned from the wilderness, having been tempted by the devil there, Jesus began teaching and healing. Unclean spirits, leprosy, fever, paralysis. Jesus came preaching repentance, teaching that the kingdom of God starts as small as a mustard seed and grows, and that it welcomes everyone that the world turns away. Jesus also healed those he encountered because the kingdom of God is one in which people are seen. Jesus sees people for who they truly are, who they were created to be. Peace has nothing to do with the sort of physical condition we're in. The Pharisees and the scribes were learned men who knew the law and the prophets' words better than anyone in that society. They probably knew them by heart. Yet they were blind to the fact that God was standing right in front of them. You see, peace is a state of being, because peace is fully embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. It is not some abstract quality that we have to strive for, but it's a closeness, an intimacy with God, with the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. Jesus didn't come to overthrow the Roman government. The oppression that the Jews were experiencing at the hands of the Romans was a symptom of a deeper dis-ease. Jesus came to get at the root of the problem. Creation has forsaken its creator. All the pain that we experience through sickness, shame, struggle of broken relationships, accidents, death, Jesus came to redeem, to rescue us from. He did things that were radical. He healed blind men and paralytics. And in a society where women were outcast and people with disabilities had to beg for money in the streets, Jesus said to them, "I see you. I am for you." He said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. You can't even enter the kingdom of God if you don't see it through a child's eyes. It doesn't matter whether you aren't even two yet, or whether you're almost 100 years old. As my Aunt Teresa always reminds me, you're God's kid. He loves you. When we are close to people we trust, when we give ourselves to growing in relationship with people who are safe, we allow ourselves to be known. When we are known, we open ourselves to know God more deeply and intimately, to continually be growing more deeply in love with God is the greatest privilege that we have as human beings created by the God who is love and the Prince of Peace. A sowing of peace took place as Jesus saw people, really saw them, and loved them where they were. It wasn't until Jesus met them there that he could take them where he wanted them to be. Whether that was through physical healing, rebuke, teaching, or straightforward declaration of the forgiveness of sins, the reign of peace was not in any one thing that Jesus did, but rather in how each healing, each rebuke, each encounter with Jesus led to the reversal of one thought pattern and introduced a new one, all held within God's great love for us as humans. When the woman with the issue of blood was healed, her whole life changed. She was no longer someone who was an outcast. When the woman who was being stoned for adultery was left alone, and Jesus wrote in the dust, most likely, she did go and sin no more. In the parable of the prodigal son, there was a new beginning because the son realized what he had done wrong and he was reconciled to the Father, as God wishes for us all to be in real life. All of this because of the tender mercy of God. It was never about the healings themselves, or looking away from sin where it was present. Rather, it was always about the people right in front of Jesus, who they were and how much they were loved. That is peace, getting lost in the love of Jesus, so much so that we are not rattled by the wind and the waves of the world and all that it tries to throw at us, and so that we can be peace for other people, so that we can be in the world objects of peace and mercy also. Mercy triumphs over judgment. To help paint a picture of what this looks like today, I'll close with an example from my own life. When I was in school, one day I was helping in chapel, and I didn't get to the cafeteria until much later than usual. And because trays are awkward for me to handle and balance while driving my wheelchair, it just doesn't work for me. So I would make multiple trips to get what I wanted. And because on this particular day, I had gotten to the cafeteria later than usual, I didn't have much time to eat before class started because I had a 1 o'clock class. And the professor of my 1 o'clock class wasn't sitting too far away, and I don't know if she overheard or if she just noticed that I was sort of taking a while. But she walked over to me and she said, "If I'm late for class, it's because I'm finishing my lunch. There's no need to get hasty." In that moment, all of the adrenaline and anxiety about being late for class so that I could finish my lunch or not wanting to be late for class dissipated from my heart, and it was flooded with peace. I didn't worry about finishing my lunch and putting away the dishes until I watched her stand up and put away hers. Friends, Jesus is not the Prince of Peace because everything in our lives is perfect. He is not the Prince of Peace because in him all things are made well on this side of heaven. In fact, many people are struggling and wrestling what to do when things do not go as they hoped this side of heaven. That's why we are called to be people of peace, as ones that have the peace of Christ that passes all understanding. Not because we understand it all, but because we trust the one who does. And because God gives us the promise of himself, no matter what is going on in our lives. And we have the privilege of being his hands and feet in the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Friends, go in the peace of Christ, knowing that you are so deeply loved and that the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus because he walks with you. Ask yourself this week how you can be peace to those around you. You never know. It might just be as simple as saying, I'm not leaving until I'm finished, and you don't have to either. You are so very loved, and the Prince of Peace walks with you, friends. Go in peace and serve God this week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.